Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 760. It's the 18th of April, 2017, the day in which Theresa May announced a snap election. Okay, that's going to happen on June the 8th, I think. On the podcast today, Tony Gilby, Managing Director of Talao Energy, talks about the recent announcement by IPC, which is their power development partner, outlining its entry into a joint venture partnership with QG Power Africa, a $250 million investment vehicle. Also on the podcast, I have Michael Masterman, CEO of Safran Energy, SRON, talks about first gas flows at Bezeka and what it means for their finances. Plus, I have, as always, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Gilby, Managing Director of Talao Energy. That's T-L-O-U. Tony, thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Justin.
And where am I speaking to you? Where are you at the moment, Tony?
Well, I'm back in Brisbane, Australia at the moment, Justin, having a little Easter break, or Easter's now over, and getting back into tidying up where we are now and moving on to the next stage, which is furthering the process in the field to add more reserves in 2017. Now that we've raised a little bit of cash and are well-funded to do that work program this year and beyond into 18.
Yeah, well, before we go any further, there may be some people, Tony, you are well followed on Vox Markets, there may be some people who are not aware of what Talao Energy does. So can you give a sort of a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Of course, Justin. Talao Energy is an upstream and a downstream gas development company with our principal project in Botswana. We have approximately 8,000 square kilometres, 100% owned in a very prospective area. In the central portion of Botswana. We have the only gas reserves in the country. We have the access to a huge market opportunity of approximately 8,000 megawatts or 8 gigawatts of shortfall in the Southern African power pool. We're the only company with a fully approved environmental impact statement for upstream development. That's for 200 production wells and exploration wells and water handling and gas gathering and processing facilities, so all that's approved. We have been offered the opportunity to have up to 100 megawatts of gas-fired power generation, which is a process we're working on at the moment, and that will be the quickest path to market to commercialise our gas reserves. And, of course, we're 100% owned.
Yeah, and
our properties are 100% owned.
Exactly. We'll go through some news you've recently had. You released an RNS Reach, it's called. It's an RNS, and it was in concerns with your development partner, IPC. I've done a joint venture with QG Power Africa. Now, can you explain the details and the significance of this, please, Tony?
Of course. As I mentioned, we have obtained 100% ownership of the upstream, that is the gas. We have approximately 3,000 billion cubic feet of independently certified 3C, plus some reserves. Justin, we've got 100% ownership of that. In getting that into the market, it's called, of course, the downstream, the gas reserves of the upstream, the downstream. We own 50% of that. That's a power generation, and then getting that gas converted to electricity and into the Botswana and wider grid. We have 50% ownership in that aspect of the project. Our other 50% partner is Independent Power Corp out of the UK, a very experienced power generation group, and they have behind them to assist with funding of this project, Quantum Global Africa, and another group called by the name of Tome International Limited, which They are a project management consulting firm. Now, that group have a joint venture to jointly develop power assets in sub-Saharan Africa, and the first project in Botswana will be with us and our gas, commercialising our gas, Justin.
Wow, so that is good news, isn't it? What I don't understand, it must frustrate you a bit. I mean, your share price is pretty much where it was 6 months ago, but you've developed the project so much further down the line than it was 6 months ago. Is that slightly frustrating for you?
Oh, it can be, but of course, we're all experiencing the mysteries and the ways of the market, and sometimes these things happen, and in my experience, in my opinion, it usually translates to pent-up demand, a wider interest, and people come, people go, but as the interest becomes wider in the company, as we continue to reduce risk and meet milestones, which we have and which you've mentioned, there becomes a situation where pent-up demand and interests usually explodes in a positive way, and the momentum takes off. So I'm confident that whilst we've been treading water a little bit on the market side, with the advancements in our project and with our achievements, I'm very confident we should take off in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and I suppose with, like I said, IPC there on the downstream side, I mean, your job now is focused on proving up and increasing those reserves, is it?
Well, indeed. It's a two-pronged process to add value for shareholders and to get that share price moving through achieving results, Justin. And the two principal headings that we're working under to get the real share price moving now is adding reserves on the upstream, on the gas, adding more gas reserves, converting some of our enormous 3C to the P's, to the proved and probable and possible categories. And the other major heading is the power generation side. So we're running the upstream, the gas reserve conversion, and the downstream, the power generation, converting gas to electrons to cash flow. We're running those two strategies in parallel. Now, I'm very confident, again, that as those two strategies continue to move forward and reduce the overall risk, the attention grows on the company, and that should manifest itself in the share price. The recent capital raising means that we're now not come issue. There was speculation in the market that we would come issue before it, and the raising means that effectively puts an end to that speculation for a considerable period of time now, because we're now fully funded to meet our work program requirements this year that we have set out. And the work program requirements consist of seismic and then more drilling, and that should convert some of our C's to P's and some of our 3 P's to 2 P's, and all that is very good, usually very good for the share price, Justin.
Yeah, so how much, what kind of size reserves you need to do what you want to do at the moment? Like I said, immediately, I suppose it's the 100 megawatt power station to get enough reserves for that. So how much do you need, to prove up here?
Well, of course, the proving up of the reserves is a progressive thing. We have really quite a very large amount of 3Ps in approximately 250 billion cubic feet of 3Ps. Now, that's a lot of gas in itself, 261 to be precise. Our 2Ps, however, are more modest, and usually you base your investment decisions on the 2Ps. So the process this year is to convert more of the 3Ps to 2Ps and to add additional reserves in general. Now, we can start off a project in a more modest manner. In fact, I think that will be the way we will endeavour to do it, to start out producing a smaller amount of electricity, in which case our current reserves coverage should be adequate. And as we add more reserves, that'll be commensurate with expanding the project ultimately up to the 100 megawatts, all else being equal, that the government of Botswana has given us an opportunity to secure.
Yeah, and do you see potential beyond that 100 megawatts when you have the reserves? Do you see more potential within Botswana and then going elsewhere?
Absolutely is a short answer, Justin. There's a shortfall in Botswana alone of about 300 megawatts. There's the Arapa Diamond Mine, the largest diamond mine in the world. That's another 90 megawatts just sitting there, running primarily on diesel. So that's ready for us to expand to. And then, as I said, up to that 300 megawatts of Botswanan shortfall. We must also remember that the entire Botswanan grid, and in fact our project will be connected to the grid in the not too distant future, and all going according to plan. Once we're into that grid, a little over 100 kilometres away from us, we can access all of the Southern African power pool. Now, that's a power pool that is interconnected with world-class electricity networks, and all of the regulations are in place for us to be able to sell power to any one of those countries, dozen odd countries in that Southern African power pool. As I said before, they're short as of one of the more recent reports by about 8,000 megawatts. So there's actually no shortage of market and no shortage of upside for Talao, either in Botswana or in the neighbouring countries.
Yeah, I suppose that's why it's very important as well. You have 100% ownership of the gas, isn't it? Because, like I said, once you're in the grid, you can supply to that all different regions. But if you own that 100% of the gas, then that's an important asset, isn't it?
Well, absolutely it is. Now, we can always deal in that asset if we need to with time. So one keeps 100% of the upstream for as long as possible is always the objective, Justin, and that's based on my previous experience. I was managing director, you may recall, and co-founder of a company in Australia by the name of Sunshine Gas, which was taken over for over $1 billion a few years ago now. And the strategy there, which worked very well, which I'm bringing to Talao, is to retain ownership, for 100% ownership for as long as possible, because it means that you can, A, control your own destiny in terms of work program and dealing in the asset on the ground, and B, one can sell down an interest with time, such that one can use that to assist in development funding. And the third reason is, of course, it makes the company into a juicy potential future takeover target. And that's also another way to deliver good returns for shareholders as a project comes together.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm no stranger to your previous projects. I've written a couple of blogs on you, so I know, you know, you're a guy, one of the guys, one of the pioneers of CBM in Australia, and did very well out of it. And previously, you have said that the potential here in Botswana and the Southern African region is bigger than that of Australia. Do you still believe that, and are you still on track, you know, to hopefully, you know, realise that potential?
Absolutely, is a short answer. I mean, the prospective resource for just the Lesedi permit area, which is approximately half of our land holding. We have the Mumba project as well. So for 50% of our land holding, we have prospective resources of about 8,500 billion cubic feet. Now, usually not all of that gets converted to reserves by the rules of thumb that exist elsewhere in the world, including in Queensland and Australia. But a large portion of it, as projects get their gas into production, the knowledge base on how to extract it more efficiently, and the fact that the company has cash flow at that point in time, it creates a snowballing effect whereby more reserves are converted out of your prospective resource and your contingent resources, and that necessarily adds very large valuations that the oil and gas analysts can put on the company. So because the coal is so extensive, because we have 8,000 square kilometres 100% owned, because we have a very good subsurface control, and we know what where the coal is and where it's gassy, I'm very confident that all else being equal, we're going to have a superior result to what we've experienced in the Australian market.
Excellent. Well, Tony, if anyone's listening and they like the sound of what you're doing there and they're not following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Of course. We have And the first reason is we have an enormous amount of gas, which is worth money. It's worth money, and that translates, if not immediately, it will translate through to the share price with time. That's some 3,000 billion cubic feet of 3C. And we have the market, approximately 8 gigawatts to sell that gas via electricity into. The second reason is we have the experienced partners and the track record together with the funding to make all this happen. And the third reason, in my opinion, Talao has all the key fundamentals in place to be a multiple of its current share price in the not too distant future, Justin.
Excellent, Tony. Good to chat to you as always, and look forward to chatting to you again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much, Tony.
Very good, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, CEO of Safran Energy. That's SRON. Michael, thanks for coming back on.
Great to be on, Justin. And as you would have seen, we've had a very happy Easter.
Yes, well, we'll get into that. You've been busy over Easter. You haven't been just eating eggs there. You've been doing some positive things with Safran. So we'll get into that. But for always, you know, someone listening right now who's not heard of you, explain to them what Safran Energy is all about, if you could, Michael.
So Safran Energy has gas production assets in northern Italy. Our first field, Solaro's, currently pumping out the gas, just leading up to the Easter period. And now we've got our second gas field, Bezzecca, up and running and producing gas. And we have a third gas field, Sant'Alberto, coming on stream back end of 2017. So yeah, we've got two gas fields heading for a third. We're in an extremely high-margin, profitable gas province, and we've got a lot of momentum.
Yes, and so over the Easter break there, so you, in fact, take us through the figures here of the flow rates, if you could, Michael.
Okay, so we started, so we currently, with Solaro, our first field, produce about 10,000 standard cubic metres a day. Mm-hmm. We've just commissioning Bezzecca, which literally 7 weeks after the IPO of Safran Energy on the AIM. So we hit first gas into the Italian national grid on Thursday and on Friday. We took a short shutdown over the Easter period and up and running again today with gas production. We're commissioning the plant, ramping up to 30,000 to 40,000 cubic metres a day. So that'll take our total production up from 10,000 cubic metres a day to over 40,000 cubic metres a day. So that's a pretty healthy boost in production. And with that gas production comes very healthy revenues. We're looking at kicking out of around about €250,000 a month from Bezzecca. And if you add on the revenues from Solaro, we're well above the €300,000 a month in revenues.
Yeah, and you were saying there that it's a good margin on this because low operating costs, isn't it, over there?
Yeah, look, northern Italy is an extremely good place to produce conventional natural gas. That's where all the consumption in industrialised Italy is. We sell our gas at the wholesale price, so very high price at the wellhead, through a contract with Shell Italia. And the gas fields are fully automated, so they operate 24/7. There's no operating costs other than minimal maintenance costs, where experienced executives visit the field 3 to 4 days a week. So very efficiently run and very high margins.
Yes, you've got the gas there, you've got the customer, it's pretty much all automated, so it's low cost. And next, like your third gas field, Sant'Alberto, what's happening with that, Michael?
So Sant'Alberto, we're busily getting ready to put that into production back end of 2017. It's probably another 6 or 7 months before we get that going. But we're just doing the design and procurement and grid connection work for that. The great thing about Bezzecca, which started last week, is it's already connected into the Italian national grid. The plant's there, the pipeline's there, and so we were able to kick off very quickly with that field. With Sant'Alberto, the production well with all the downhole equipment's in place. We just need to do the Italian national grid connection, and we've got a plant lined up, a gas processing plant lined up to run Sant'Alberto.
Yeah, and I suppose obviously the revenue will come in handy to deal with all that, won't it?
Yes. No, it's well timed. So we'll get some good gas flows and cash flows from Solara and Bezeka, and that together with the funds raised in the IPO will be used to add Sant'Alberto into production. So the aim is to have 3 out of 3 gas fields producing at the end of 2017, and to exit 2017 at a significantly higher production rate than we entered it.
Yeah, and so beyond that, are you always on the lookout for other opportunities, Michael, or at the moment are you happy with these 3 gas fields?
Look, the what we said to the shareholders when we did the IPO is if we just do what we've got planned and execute it well, we've got a ramp from about 1 million scuffs a day to 4.5 million scuffs a day in terms of standard cubic feet per day of production. That is very healthy, and that's a very good trajectory. Yeah. That said, we have a skilled commercial team that is able to add further gas production to the portfolio, and we'll take the opportunities as they come up. But we're very focused on Bezeka, which we've achieved, and we'll continue to ramp that up. We're very focused on Sant'Alberto at the end of the year, and keep an eye out for some of the other things we'll be able to do.
Yeah, and as far as Sant'Alberto is concerned, have you any indication as to production rates you can achieve there?
We're looking at about 25,000 cubic metres a day. So if you like, 10 from Solara, 30 to 40 from Bezeka, add 25 from Sant'Alberto at the end of the year, and you're looking at a pretty good production rate in a very profitable hydrocarbon province.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Michael, if someone's listening to this now, I like the sound of this. I like what they're doing here at Saffron Energy, but they aren't following you. Give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button, please, Michael.
Okay, 3 reasons. One, we are in a profitable hydrocarbon province, and we have gas production revenue and cash flows. That gas production is going to grow very significantly through this year and into 2018, and that is a very strong platform for revenue growth and earnings growth. And thirdly, we have very well positioned to capitalise on our position as a gas production company, and we think shareholders will see some quite significant growth over and above the 3 gas fields.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, at the moment your market cap is sub £15 million, so you can see what those revenues can generate there, so just put that in context. Michael, good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are... At 5, SDX Energy, that's SDX. At 4, URU Metals, URU. At 3, Westminster Group, WSG. I did write a blog about those on the weekend, and I think one worth researching. They've got one contract in the pipeline, which they announced today, actually, by the way, that they're making significant progress on, that could increase their revenue tenfold. And they are doing better in other areas of the business, and also they've announced they are quitting the convertible loan notes, so worth checking out WSG. At 2, Infinity Energy, INFT. And number 1, released a cracking bit of news today on their clinical Revive 1 Stage 3 or Phase 3 trial into Iqaluit. It was Motive Bio, MTFB. All right, top 5 most liked RNSs. At 5, Saffron Energy. I talked to Michael, CEO, earlier on. First gas flows at Bezeka. At 4, Sound Energy, SOU, mobilization of rig to Sidi Mokhtar. At 3, in fact, the late entry had just come in now, Angus Energy, update on Lidzi Oilfield, positive news there. At 2, SDX Energy, update on STX One well. And number one, most liked RNS, without a doubt, it was a Motif Bio MTFB positive data readout from Iclaprim Phase 3 trial. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated. By the way, hope you had a nice Easter. I'm just about surviving, I think, after Easter. I'm always directionless, you know? Whenever I have several days off from the month, I can just handle two, Saturday and Sunday. When it comes to four, I don't know where the heck I am. I'm wandering around like a zombie, you know what I'm saying? But thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.